before we get to what they're about to do, kids, you are dismissed to your kids' classes, and you can go on out to the Ark. We are sorry for being so long this first part, and so parents, I do ask that as the teachers have prepared for 45 minutes, please give them as much as we can time out there, so don't rush when we're finished out there to go pick up your kids. Unless you need to, then go grab them. I will take all the blame for that. So I apologize for us being long this morning. This is a special day. Not only that we get to honor our seniors, but these two young men get to share God's word with each of you. I've gotten to spend the last, well, many years with them, but the last few weeks preparing this with them, and you are going to hear their hearts today. And you are in for a special treat. You're going to get to know them a little better. You're going to get to know who they are a little bit more, and I'm thankful you are here, and God's working through both of them, and you're going to hear his words through them today. And so let's pray for Ty and Aaron this morning. God, the work that you've done in Ty and Aaron's lives so far is just incredible. Lord, how you just continue to be at work, and Lord, how we know you will even in their future. And God, I pray that you just speak through them this morning. Lord, they've prepared and sought you. And Lord, let it be your words that are heard. And Lord, I just pray you give them both a peace. Just say, Lord, just help them not to be stressed up here this morning, Lord, but to, Lord, just to feel your presence, and Lord, to speak your words. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. My name is Ty Kirkbride. I've lived here pretty much my entire life. I moved here when I was 18 months old from Memphis, Tennessee. I've gone to this church ever since I can remember. My parents are David and Christine Kirkbride, as a lot of y'all know. And this morning I'm blessed with the opportunity to do this sermon alongside my best friend, Schaefer, and as Tyler calls him, he calls him Aaron. He's got about three different names everybody calls him, but today I'm going to be sticking with Schaefer, and so I don't have to confuse y'all. So,
yeah, I'm Aaron Schaefer. I moved here around seventh grade, so around like summer of 2017, and I moved here from a town called Waldron, Arkansas. It's around like population 2,000. It's real small, and unlike Ty, I didn't follow any sort of religion until around eighth grade, and I only started going to church because I wanted to go to church with a girl. And so I wasn't going for any of the right reasons, and eventually after that didn't work out, I ended up going to church here at Park Avenue with Ty, and I started going for the right reasons around freshman year, and unfortunately, right after I started going, COVID started, and I just couldn't come, and eventually it ended up starting again, and I was like the first person back, as Tyler said earlier, so yeah.
So this morning, we're going to be talking about living out our faith and making disciples, because as y'all know, it's a very important aspect in our lives as Christians, because that's what God calls us to do each and every day. That's what we wake up to do. And so seniors today, obviously, this is going to be pointed towards y'all, but adults and anybody else in the congregation, don't fall asleep, because this applies to y'all's everyday lives as well. So today, we're going to be working out of two passages, the first in being Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am always with you to the very end of the age.'"
And I'll read 1 Timothy 4, verse 12 through 16. "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech, in conduct, in faith, and in purity." Oh, I forgot, and in love. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So 1 and 2 Timothy are letters from Paul to Timothy. And in verse 14, when Paul was talking about Timothy's gift, his gift was never specified, but it was said to be preaching or prophecy or healing or service. And these all can help in Timothy's ability to share God's word. And this also goes into 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 and 7, where it says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And just like Timothy, we were given the gift of God and the gift to have a free will and a voice. So we should use that voice to bless others with the word of God.
And now the basis of our sermon today is going to be about living out your faith, as I said. And just the basis of the passages is just to give us the tools and the guidelines to lead a good Christian life. So to split it up, there were some points that we felt really stuck out. The first of which is in Matthew's last words. His commands were, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And so basically saying you got to take advantage of the opportunity to go make more Christians. And so as we go and make lives for ourselves, we're going to be given opportunities on a day-to-day basis. Seniors, as you go off to college, we're spreading out across the world, so we're going to have to meet new people. And so, like, we need to be able to live by example and live by example in Christ so that they can see the good works that God has done in our lives, and so we can teach others how to live a good Christian life. And for me, my first big opportunity was you, Shafe. The first time I invited you, I was a bit hesitant because, like, usually in high school, you invite somebody to church, it's like a one-and-done deal. They come one time, and then they use the little cliche line, like, "Church isn't for me." And I didn't want to waste my time on that. But if I remember correctly, I went to talk to my parents about it because, I mean, I saw something in Schaefer. I was like, we were good friends at the time. We weren't best friends. And I really wanted him to come to church with us. And then they were like, I expressed my concerns to them. And they said, "Ty, you have all the power in the world to not make it a one-time deal. You have all the power in the world to make it known that you want him there. And you need to take advantage of this opportunity." And every week after that, I asked. And sure enough, he stayed. But it was good on your part by taking initiative. You could have easily just said, "Yeah, church isn't for me. I don't really like it here." And it was bad timing in the fact that COVID happened literally like a week after I invited you. So like it was a 3-month period in between the first time you came and the next time. And I was like, dang, I wasted all my time trying to do this. And COVID's going to come and just mess it all up. But as he said, he was the first person back in those doors the first day church opened up. And that just shows you how amazing God can work in our lives and how he has a control of our hearts. And he works in non-believers, believers, he works in everybody's lives. And so to give more context on the way God works in our lives, I'm going to read a passage from 1 Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. And it says, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants, though whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to teach, I planted. Apollos watered. But God gave the growth. So neither he plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." Now this passage is a perfect example on how we merely just planted the seed and how we watered it, but God uses the time in between thinking about Christ and accepting him to make it grow. And that's what he did with Schaefer and giving that time period of 3 months to really work on his heart. While I planted the seed, I just watered it. God did every single bit of work. So.
Well, on my side of the stick, on my end of the story, I'm going to be honest. I started coming for the food and the basketball. I didn't have any connection with God, so I just thought it was a cool thing to do on Wednesday nights. And I'd say I'm a very fact-based person. I like to see to believe. And since Ty was asking and getting me here and keeping me here, I started to see the evidence of God in this church. And I was treated with so much love and kindness from Tyler and the Kirkbrides, and I just saw how God was working in everyone's lives, and that is what made me more Christian. That is what made me want to keep coming and coming for the right reasons. And it really made me mature. So because of that, I realized that opportunities are not a one-and-done situation. And there are people out there who have reason, and they have reason, to not go to church and to not pursue a relationship with God. And you need with them, you need to be patient. And for me, I find the opportunity to show love whenever you can and just show people that the way of Christ is a way of love, is a way to live life well, then that is very important in my life. And in schools, and for many of you in the workplace, it's easy to build up a reputation that you're a Christian, you are this sort of way. And I think I've developed sort of a reputation for being a Christian. So whenever I show kindness in my school, whenever I show love or try to be kind to others, then I think that's when people start seeing that the Christian life is a good life. So when people are trying to research the faults and the holes in Christianity, and they won't bend to your conversations, then they need to see that evidence of how Christ is working in your life, and that can be a lot more powerful than their research.
Now, Shafe, the point that you made earlier about being patient, now that's something I really lacked when it came to our relationship and your relationship with God. I wanted you to take the big steps really early in your relationship, and you just weren't ready for it. And I tried to force you, and you being a very independent person, like, it didn't help with your relationship with God, and it certainly didn't help our relationship. Like, I remember a few weeks after we had this biggest argument, like, ever, like, we were mad at each other, you know what I mean? And it took me, like, it took me lots of prayer time to sit back and realize that, like, I needed to take a step back and let God do his work, you know? Like I said, we plant the seed and we water it, but God does all the work, and I was trying to force my hand upon you to take steps in your faith when I needed to just sit back, let you grow in your own faith, let God work, and you mature. And I think going along with experiences like that, I think for both of us, an experience that we really haven't taken advantage of is this classmate of ours that we've had since probably about 7th grade. For me, 5th grade. For you, 7th grade, because that's when he moved. And he's very open about his atheist beliefs. And for me, it's very scary because I feel like I'm inadequate. I don't know what to say. I'm going to come off as rude, ignorant, and this kid is very smart. Like, he knows his facts. He knows what to say. And so every time up until about a few weeks ago, I would shy away from even talking to him. I would just like, okay, I'm going to stay out of this. And I knew it was hurting God's heart. And I didn't have the confidence that I needed in God's word. And that's what really hurt the progress that me and you could have been making through, like, years of classmates, like, years of work in his life. And so not taking advantage of that opportunity really hurt us. And so seniors, I challenge y'all, as y'all go off to college, just start spreading the word from the jump. Take advantage of each and every opportunity that comes your way. And adults, y'all do the same in the workplace, because there's always going to be more opportunities in life. There's always going to be somebody who needs to hear something, whether it's a, hey, how are you, or I'm praying for you. There's always something that needs to be heard. And, like, you might think that people are out there, they just don't want to listen to you, but, like, anything that you have to say to them is really helpful. And so when we're doing that, we need to do it in confidence. We need to be confident, because that's what is very appealing to people.
Yeah, and a big part of that confidence is also just knowing what you're talking about. And in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." And this just basically says, be immersed in the word of God, because it'll make you a better Christian and can act as a tool to make disciples. The Bible can be used as the foundation in your life, as well as a tool for you to teach others and show others an example on how to pursue Christianity. And it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, so we should use it to lead us, and we should use it to lead others. And I'd like to restate a verse that we said earlier. That was 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. And it says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but power and love and self-control." So God did not make us fearful. God made us powerful. God made us loving. God made us disciplined. So we were made to have the confidence to disciple others and preach.
Yeah, just adding on what you said, when we're making new disciples, like you said, we need to do it with the utmost confidence. We have everything we need right here in the Bible. These are the instructions on how to spread the word and disciple perfectly, so there's no need to be nervous or scared. And when we're talking about it, like, the word of God, having confidence is very key because it's very attractive. It's very appealing to a new Christian or somebody on the fence about their faith. It makes them want what you have. And so that's what we want. We want them to have the urge to go out and make new disciples and learn more about God. So seniors, when you go off to college, it's going to be hard to lead a life of that confidence because parents, I'm sorry, but we've been living life guided under your ways because, I mean, we're under your house. And so we're just now starting to own our own faith. And so when you own your own faith, it's really scary. But church, as we go and do discipleship and confidence, remember that everything is very important. It's like the most important, that everything we do is for the glory of God. It all goes back to him. None of it is for selfish ambition. Yes, we need confidence, but we need confidence in God. We don't need confidence in ourselves. And I think that's that catches me up a lot, where I'm like, yes, I'm doing a great job, so me, whenever it's all God. You know what I mean? And so I think the perfect example was in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. I'm not going to read it again, but it's a perfect example of when Saul was converting to Paul. At first, Saul, very self-absorbed person. Everything he did was out of selfish ambition. He was persecuting Christians left and right, living a life for himself and not of God. And once Saul got confronted by God, it changed his life forever, for the better. And that's when he changed to Paul. See, when you live a life out of confidence for yourself, you're not living the life God has called you to do, and it hurts God. You're taking all the credit when in reality, like it says, we have just watered the seed. God did every single bit of growing. And when we live a life of Christ-centered confidence, there is no limit to the amount of lives that we can touch on a daily basis.
I completely agree, because you need to live a life of Christ-centered confidence. And someone who I thought reflected that in a Bible story was Moses, for those of you who are watching CTW. So Moses was once part of the most powerful family in Egypt, and he had everything that he wanted. He had riches, he had wealth. And luckily, he grew up being raised by his mother, who taught him the ways of God, and he grew out of that false confidence that he had in his wealth, and he grew some in God. In Hebrews 11, verse 23 through 27, it says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful. They were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward, which is heaven. And by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible, who is God." And instead of living a comfortable and lavish life, he decided he'd rather suffer with the people of God, living out a life with faith in God. So Moses knew that it'd be a lot more difficult, but he understood that any life without God wouldn't be worth living. He left Egypt with the intent to live a life worth living with heaven in mind as the goal, and he saved the Israelites, he parted the Red Sea, got the Ten Commandments from God, and he did all of that in a life with his faith in God. If he stayed in the palace and he didn't attempt to go out on his own way, then that would have never happened. He would have never completed the Exodus. He would have never led them to the edge of the Promised Land. And he ended up living a really good Christian life with his faith in God. And he did all of this because of his confidence in Christ. And as we leave, y'all will have these points and do believe it very important to understand that your faith is completely personal. No one can tell you how you should live your faith out or the proper way to be a perfect Christian. Because the truth is, none of us are perfect. We all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. That's why God made a community of believers. We are all doing this for one sole purpose, and that is to glorify God and bring others to know him.
So church, as y'all go through y'all's week, I challenge y'all to find one person that you've been thinking about, one person that needs the love of Christ, and just show it to them. Find it in your day-to-day life to walk, to just live the way Christ has called you to do, whether it's, like I said, hello, or just like, I'm praying for you, just a little, how are you doing? I challenge y'all to find that in y'all's day-to-day lives each and every day. So I'm going to close this out in prayer, and song's next. So please bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm very, very blessed to have the opportunity just to preach your words, Lord. Thank you for just the church and the community that we have here, Lord. I thank you that you're giving us the free will just to come out here and just be free in our faith. I pray that as we go through our week, that we just find it in our day-to-day lives just to reach somebody, just to change somebody's life this week, Lord, and just let you do your thing. I pray that you just give us the confidence and in knowing that we know what we're talking about, Lord, that you're here for us each and every step of the way, and just to take advantage of each and every opportunity that you give ourselves, Lord. And I just thank you so much for today. Thank you for each and every senior here. Thank you for the parents, just the great job they've done raising us, Lord. And thank you for this church community and all they've given to the seniors, Lord. And I just thank you so much. And it's through his name we pray. Amen.